extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. No co-hosts, just all of you out there. Soccer and MLS lovers and CONCACAF Champions Cup sickos. Massive weekend coming up around Major League Soccer. Match day 17 is come and gone midweek. Match day 18 around the corner, but we're all looking forward to one thing. Saturday night in Pachuca. 9:15 p.m. Eastern, FS1 and 2DNA, Columbus Crew, Pachuca, in the CONCACAF Champions Cup Final. Can the Crew make history? It's a question we've asked a handful of times before around this league, and only one time has it been answered in the affirmative. We got a full preview of the final coming up on today's show. Christian Ramirez, forward for the Crew, drops by to talk all things CONCACAF, all things Cucho, and much, much more. We'll also talk to Rodolfo Landeros about Pachuca and go around MLS and get his All-Star ballot as well. Go vote, speaking of, for your All-Star 11. MLSsoccer.com is the spot. I put mine out on Twitter last night and walked the guys through it on MLS Wrap-Up. They had some feedback. That's okay. It's okay for them to be wrong publicly. But you can put yours out there and make your voice known on that one. Before we get to Christian, just want to bounce around a few topics from match day 17 in case you missed wrap-up. Number one, Ricky Puig, well done, sir. He got into the salon, got the dye job fixed. It's now a platinum blonde, a true homage to Ken. Catalan Ken stepped up as well. FC Dallas got run off the field by a rampant LA Galaxy squad. Two goals from Dan Jovlich, and then Ricky just knew he had to get a goal because he had the celebration ready. Best thing I saw, after that third goal, Ricky goes and sits down on the inline. Diego Fagundes comes out of nowhere with a towel, and they do the entire salon routine on the field. It was absolutely wonderful. Congratulations to Ricky for finally fixing that dire mistake on top of his head. Meanwhile, the Shield race got more interesting on Wednesday night. We did the pregame show, and I said straight up, Cincinnati, Miami, they're not just chasing the Shield. They are chasing historic greatness in Major League Soccer. Both were right around the pace of the 2021 New England Revolution. Well, after two losses at home, surprising ones as well, Nashville going to Cincinnati and winning, and Miami losing to Atlanta at home, well, everything is to play for because RSL came back at the death yet again and got a draw in Seattle, and LAFC are absolutely rampant at home, looking like a team that could compete for this thing, especially after they make their big moves in the summer. So stay tuned to the Shield. I know Tata Martino is. After the match in Miami, he said, there's only one positive from tonight, and that is that Cincinnati lost, and that man is clearly a Shield truther. Also, congratulations on Wednesday night. Go out to Sean Johnson in Toronto. A big shutout against Philadelphia on the banks of the Delaware. That's his 100th shutout in MLS regular season play. He's the fourth. Only three other goalkeepers have done that. Congratulations to Albert Rusnak as well. He got a goal. That's his 50th goal. Now it's 50-50 in Major League Soccer, 50 goals and 50 assists. The 29th player to get that done. And finally, last but also least, Sporting Kansas City. That's whack. Six straight losses, this one at home to the Vancouver Whitecaps. If you want to check out the highlights, all the analysis, Bradley Wright Phillips, myself, Kevin Egan, and Sasha Kleshin broke it down on MLS Season Pass late night on MLS Wrap-Up, so go check that one out. In the meantime, let's get you ready for the CONCACAF Champions Cup Final. 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday night, FS1 and 2DNA, Columbus Crew against Pachuca. Here's Christian Ramirez. It's an absolute honor and a pleasure to have Christian Ramirez, Superman, on the show ahead of a massive match on Saturday. The CONCACAF Champions Cup Final, the Columbus Crew going to Pachuca, going to altitude, trying to make history, and we will all be absolutely locked in. Christian, what's up, man?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Big week. How you feeling? I'm just looking at you here. You seem relaxed. You're smiley. Like, you know, you're loose.
Yeah. I think we've used the sort of similar buildup to MLS Cup from the staff down to the players, of just enjoying the week and enjoying the preparation of it. It's been a tough road to get here, a historic road, and so we're just along for the ride.
What kind of vibes does Wilfred and the staff, and of course you guys, the players, what are you putting out? How do those vibes materialize? What's it really like inside the facility?
Same as a normal buildup. Started with a Michael Jordan quote this week, and then just said, look, enjoy the week, enjoy the preparation, and just be with your families that come down on Thursday or Friday. So, no real restrictions on that. So normally you've been a part of teams that they'll lock you in the hotel and make it a tense situation, but he doesn't want to have any time frames where it's only specific where you could see people and this and that. He trusts us to be professional and know how to handle the situation.
I feel like it's easy to get locked into sort of like the tactical soccer side sometimes when you're thinking about a final or preparation for a game, but Wilfred strikes me as a guy that's much more about sort of the human side. And I chatted with him on the show a couple weeks ago, and we talked a lot about just mentality and emotions and like the psychological side of things. Is he different than other coaches you've had in the past in that way?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's got the balance down to a T, if you want to say, because when we are on the pitch, it's very detailed and the expectations are really high of what he's asking us to do from every position, and even more so this year than last year, because he's like, well, you guys proved to me last year that you were ready and you were advanced of what he expected. And now it's like breaking layers and layers of what he wants. And he's challenged us even more. So that's been good. But off the field, he just wants us to be ourselves and lets us have fun. And we're able to let our guards down a bit and just be relaxed.
What was the Jordan quote? Do you remember?
It was a long one.
Yeah. The gist is fine. Yeah, we don't got to go word for word.
It was about his preparation for every game, whether it was the NBA Finals or a regular season game. He took it the same, and his whole message behind it was like, this is a guy who won six straight six finals, could have won more if he didn't retire early or go play baseball. And he took the preparation the same for every game. So that was basically the method behind it.
I was listening to you on Julian Gressel's podcast, and you guys were talking and joking and laughing about the presentations that this staff does. And as soon as you said the Michael Jordan quote, my mind immediately went to that conversation. And I was like, oh, this must have been like the PowerPoint or whatever it is. What did that PowerPoint look like? And what is it about those presentations that get you guys in the right state of mind?
Well, this one wasn't a PowerPoint. This was, we were out on the training pitch, and he pulled us over to the sideline before training started, and he just popped up the quote on the – there's like a monitor on field side, and he popped it up and had a two-minute speech on it, and then that was it. But the presentations are a different level of complexity, I guess.
Did I hear that? Look, I'm a cry guy myself. I'll shed some tears pretty easily. But I heard you say on Julian's pod that you guys, some guys were, you know, getting a little emotional last year.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think the beauty of it was so unexpected. Nobody, it's a tense situation. You're in the Eastern Conference Championship, and all of a sudden, like, it cuts to your families, and then we're like, oh wow, let's see who. So you're just sitting back, like, all right, who filmed for me? And then it starts going down the team. And then I go back to the Kevin Molina one because I've known him for so long, like his son, to see him where he's at now and speaking a Trini accent just like Kevin, it was incredible to me. And then you go to Yao's parents in a village in Ghana. So it was special for everyone. But I think the thing that got everyone was it was so unexpected. And so I think going into MLS Cup, we were like, all right, what are they going to do this time since they set the bar so high last time? I'm interested to see. They probably won't do anything now that I've put them on the spot.
Exactly. Go the complete unexpected. It's like, we gave you this, you know, this Emmy-winning presentation before, and now we'll just, you know, you guys have the emotional wherewithal to deal with this, right?
Yeah.
What would it mean to win this championship, to be Kings of CONCACAF, a place that only one other MLS team in the modern era, at least, has ever been?
Oh, it'd be fantastic to be able to put this group of players in that level of conversation. Like you said, only one other team has done it. But the way that we're doing it, the way that we're playing, in the atmospheres that we've had to go into and get results in and not shy away from who we are, and I think grow as the tournament has gone on, we've grown even more, would be special and hopefully put us down as one of the best MLS teams to ever be put together. And we know that there's been a lot of great ones that haven't won it. So we're just going to focus on it and see where we go.
Christian, are you a CONCACAF Champions Cup, Champions League nerd? Like, I ask that in the sense that I have lived and died with this competition and mostly died over the years with MLS results. I wonder, as you've been going through your career, have you been watching all these games? Have you been like...
Oh, for sure. That was one of the things when we won MLS Cup, I was like, finally, I'm able to play in this tournament. And then, of course, we draw an MLS side. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were going to go down go to... just go down to Central America, play in Panama or something. And now we went down and played in Houston the first round we were in. But yeah, it's been good. It's been enjoyable. You've seen the madness of it at times. And yeah, I love it. So hopefully can be a part of it for much longer.
What's the marquee moment of this run for you, for this Crew team? What's the thing, the moment that stands out?
I don't know. For me, I missed the Tigres one out of injury. So I wasn't a part of that trip and that result. So for me, it was to be able to witness it again in Monterrey. And we're apparently back at the same hotel and like guys were comfortable. And then to be able to do what we did down in Monterrey was special, to just see how far the group has come. And to be able to do it in those conditions.
The goal against Monterrey sticks out to me, and there's so many Crew goals that it's not that they look the same, it's that they feel the same in the way the ball gets overloaded and the 3-2 possession just sort of draws teams in, and then the big switch comes and all of a sudden you guys are running downhill. I heard you say earlier that we've stuck true to who we are. Mm-hmm. If I was not who I am, which is too deep in this sometimes and loving it to a level that is sometimes unhealthy. Let's say you met me on an airplane. I'm just a guy. And you say, I play for the Columbus Crew. We're going to play in this final. And I ask you, who are the Columbus Crew? How would you tell that person about this team, this game model, this project?
We're a team who can punish you in 2 passes or a team who can punish you in 35 passes. And I think you go back to just this weekend on Diego's second goal. We win a ball, Aiden plays it to Yao to Diego, and we're down, it's 2-0. So we're able to score in those different moments. And we're easy on the eye, I would say, in certain things. And I've always said, like, it must be so frustrating at times to play against us, because sometimes it looks like guys aren't engaged and involved, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, where did we go type of thing. And then that just takes so much sacrifice and so much repetition and belief in what's going on. And guys have shown it, and you see it on a Saturday night or a Wednesday night, the fruits of that being shown.
I always think of it when I watch you guys, it's almost like a lure. You're drawing the fish in, so to speak, and trying to encourage the bite, because you know once you have them hooked, the space is there, the opportunity is there. Speaking of being lured in, your dad Juan sort of lured me in on the field at MLS Cup. I was just walking around enjoying all of the festivities, and it's one of my favorite things as part of this job is seeing a team win something and then just being a fly on the wall, watching families and friends and coaches and players all just have this pantheon moment. But he got me for 10 minutes, man. He was telling me all the Christian Ramirez stories. You had the whole squad out there. So I'm wondering, does Juan get to come to the final? Is Cash coming to the final? Who is accompanying you to this final?
Yeah, my dad's flying from California with my 2 brothers. And then my mom's here right now in Columbus. So she'll fly with my wife and my kids. So that'll be the crew that's going down to be there and experience it. So it'll be fun, but my dad lives these moments like no other. He's always on the field. He just roams around. You find him in hallways at the stadium at lower, and you're just like, how are you getting here?
He's convincing. Yeah, he's a very convincing, charming man.
Yeah, there's been moments where we finished the game and he's down on the field with Issa, and I'm like, how is this happening? So he's a character for sure. But
I'm glad to hear.
I love seeing how excited he gets and how he lives in these moments. So yeah, I'm really thankful to have him be a part of these moments.
It's wonderful. I think Cash is a good luck charm here for all of us who are rooting for the Columbus Crew this weekend. So it's great to hear that your family's going to be a part of this with you. What have you seen so far from Pachuca in scouting? What do you know of this particular team?
Yeah, they're really aggressive defensively. They almost bring a Red Bull style pressing for those who haven't seen them much. I follow Liga MX since I've grown up in SoCal, so their youth system feeds professionals, and they have such a great academy system. So, yeah, they're real respected. They have a real dynamic attack to them, and they're really dangerous on transition. So that's something that we need to be wary of in possession. Our rest defense needs to be spot on. But we also know there's areas to exploit there. So we're excited, and we've been working on certain things. I think we're able to adjust in game better than a lot of our opposition. And I think that's one of our strengths is 20 minutes go by and Wilfred moves his hands around and something is adjusted. And then if that's not going to what he expects, then at halftime something's adjusted and vice versa. So that's something very fluid that I think most people don't see is how quickly he adjusts, and we're able to adjust on the fly to what he wants and what he's seeing out in that moment.
I know you said that you guys have an adjusted routine and all that ahead of this final, but there has been one big adjustment that I've seen just sort of watching from afar, and that's the altitude training, because going to Pachuca is no joke. I mean, it's 8,000 feet above sea level. It's higher than Mexico City. It's much higher than even, say, Denver when you go play the Colorado Rapids. Walk me through what your staff has put you guys through in terms of just getting you ready to go play in these particular conditions.
Yeah, I luckily had a preseason in 2016 with Minnesota in Pachuca, out of all places. So I was able to witness that. But yeah, we've had altitude tents in our house that we've been just asked to spend as much time as we can in there, whether it's a nap or watching a movie or sleeping at night.
What's that like being in an altitude tent?
The version that we got is like a personal sized one, because they didn't want to have it fully cover our bed, and then if you have a wife or a partner to have to deal with that.
Hey baby, we're gonna be sleeping at 8,000 feet for the next week, all right?
Yeah, so they made a good decision on that one, saved us a couple arguments. But yeah, it's basically covers up to your waist, and then you turn it up, and it's like a noise that's basically sucking air out of the thing, and then we added a fan in it because it gets pretty hot. Like the first night I woke up drenched in sweat, and I was like, I threw the tent off, and I got frustrated, and I was like, I'm done. But I made it to like 4 a.m. So I was like, all right, cool. And then just spending time in that. And then we've had like a bike protocol that basically to get us to feel what we're going to feel when we sprint or something like that. So it's been good. I think they haven't also wanted to scare us. And that's been the biggest thing. It's like, we're doing all this just as a prep, but in reality, the way we play, I think we'll be fine. You can't really fight the altitude that much. I think from what they told us, we would have had to have gone down 2 weeks prior to fully acclimate. And because of CONCACAF rules, we can't go down on, say, Saturday or Friday night. So yeah, I think we're as prepared as we can be, but yeah, we're definitely not scared anymore after what we've been through.
Is that what it felt like in 2016 when you went down with Minnesota? Like, I mean, I just the imagery of air being sucked out of a tent that you're trying
to...
but even
in Colorado, like around the 70th minute, you feel it for a sec. I think one thing that I think goes understated is how the ball travels. It travels a bit different. And now for the final, we're playing with a different ball. So we've been training with that ball. So I think that'll be the biggest thing on Friday is getting to see how the ball travels in the air, getting used to that a little bit. And I think for me personally, when I've played in altitude, I always try to use the warm-up to try and make myself feel that suffocation feeling so that you know how to recover from it. But I think guys will be fine.
How's Kucho looking in training? I mean, for me, this is the big story of the week, right? I mean, you don't got to give everything away, but I'm just curious.
News, man. he's good. He was over last night and we were watching them last games. I think we'll see how Wilfred uses him. I think he came off well yesterday. I haven't seen him this morning. I know how badly Kucho wants to play in this, and we know how important he is. And I told him I need him to win me another final. he's built for these type of moments, and that's why they brought him here. And he showed that all last year in the playoffs, and he gets up for these games. We'll see at what capacity Wilfred and the staff use him. But to me, he's looked good.
Take me behind the curtain with Kucho, because I think sometimes we have these star players that, you know, you see them on the field and that's how you identify with them, is their persona on the field or their play on the field. But clearly you guys have a close personal relationship. What's he like as a person?
Yeah, I think he's gravitated towards me and vice versa. I think we both have that mutual respect. And since I got here, I made it clear to him. I said, I'm here to try and play with you, to push you and to challenge you, but also to be there for you. And I think that's been the biggest thing that he's really accepted. Not accepted. I'm trying to find the word for it. But
appreciated, maybe.
Yeah, he's appreciated for sure. And I think he's said that numerous times where it's like he almost sees me as an older brother. I look out for him, and he's such an emotional person. That I felt really bad when the whole situation happened this year, and then he came back and he wanted to show so well, and then he gets a red card. And I know the talk was like about, okay, he's had discipline issues and blah, blah, blah. And I see him on a day in, day out basis. And to see him after that game, because I was injured, and I saw the breakdown of it, and all he wants is to do well, the team to do well. And he's still learning how to become a leader through this. I think he's a good guy. I enjoy being around him, and we enjoy each other's company.
He's an amazing player too. Between him and Diego, you have two elite game changers. And we've seen Kucho do it, and we hope he does it again. But we've sort of been waiting for Diego to hit his stride this year. It feels like he is sort of fully in stride. What do you think? Was there something that flipped for Diego, or was it just like, hey, it was a matter of time?
It was me on the field. No, I'm just I think so much.
Make your case.
So much goes into it with Diego. Is like he does so many other little things that sometimes if he's not on the stat sheet, fans will be like, well, you're a DP. You need to be on the stat sheet, blah, blah, blah. And I've seen him in LA, and yeah, I have his expectations and he has his own. He's in stride right now. He's feeling comfortable and he's finding his pockets. And I think he took it upon himself to maybe get a little bit more out of himself, knowing that Kucho was out the last few games. So he was able to maybe put the team on his shoulders a little bit more. He did well, and good moment for him to go into a final.
Before I let you go, I heard you talking about getting your B license and wanting to be a coach. And it seems to me, hearing you talk about this environment and the things that Wilfred and his staff are putting you guys through, and then just hearing you speak, that they've got to be just hoovering up information and things that you might apply in the future. What's it like to be in this particular environment, knowing you want to be a coach down the line?
Yeah, it's a great place to be honest. They say take a few things, good and bad, from every situation that you've been in. And so I've definitely kept tabs of what I've liked, what I haven't liked as a player. And I always try to to pick the brain of Wilford when I get a chance. And I think we have a really good relationship. And I think I've shown I'm an extension of him when I'm on the field. When he leans on me to get messages across or tweak something. But yeah, further down the line, we'll see if I continue down that path. Right now, it seems interesting in my mind. I don't know if I'm fully in, but I'm taking those courses just to continue to expand my knowledge of why coaches do things and why they or how they run training sessions and how they put game models together and stuff like that. So that's been the interesting dynamic to be able to be in that course and finish that course and at the same time see what we're doing. It was really interesting going back and forth to that. So, yeah, I'm just thankful because they really opened the doors for me upstairs in the academy staff to be able to see how they're translating it from top to bottom here, being able to pass that message across. So it's been a fun experience.
Balancing the present and the future. The present, of course, is much more important. You got a final coming up this weekend. We are rooting for you guys, or at least I am. I can't speak for everybody else out there. Maybe
but for real, the whole MLS, we appreciate it. We know what's at stake. And every team that we've played against leading up to this has said, go win it. So we appreciate it, and hopefully we can get it up for you guys.
MLS for the crew, man. Yeah, thank you, yeah. Christian. Appreciate your time. Safe travels down to Pachuca, and best of luck this weekend.
No problem. Thanks.
Chimerico inside for Matan, the halftime sub. Cucho to his left. Matan coming forward, slips it through. Rossi!
Let's keep it rolling as we get you ready for the CONCACAF Champions Cup final, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night. Columbus Crew headed to Pachuca, to altitude 8,000 feet above sea level. One game, all the marbles. Can the Crew become the second team in Major League Soccer to win this tournament in the modern era? Rodolfo Landeros is here with us. Rodolfo, what's up, man? Welcome to Extra Time.
Thank you very much for having me, Andrew. It's going to be a special one.
Oh, man. Just in hearing your voice, I can feel U.S.-Mexico matches of the past. I can feel all the vibes from Liga MX, from Leagues Cup, from this epic rivalry that we now get in 90, maybe 120 minutes, maybe penalties. TBD, how are you thinking? Where is your mind at ahead of this historic final?
I agree. When I was looking into the brackets, I was, you know, talking back and forth with my colleagues, and we were saying that in terms of football, in terms of playing style, the best final we could get would be Columbus Crew against Pachuca, because both teams are this high tempo, high pressure. I love the style that Wilfried Nancy brings to the table. We saw this in their MLS Cup run, and the same for Pachuca. Even though they didn't win, they faced a tough opponent, and they got beat in the last second in Liguilla against Club America. So I'm expecting fireworks for this one. And whenever it comes between rivalry between U.S. and Mexico, MLS, Liga MX, you know the conversation is gonna be hot.
Add on another level of intrigue, no doubt about it. Now, it's been since May 11th. Since Pachuca has played a competitive match, got knocked out, as you said, of the Liguilla by the eventual champions, Club America. Meanwhile, the Columbus Crew just got a 2-0 win and had a little break midweek, and we heard from Christian Ramirez how they're preparing for that altitude. But I want to start big picture, because those of us that have been sort of locked into this competition and who also love Liga MX understand Pachuca just a little bit. But I want to have you help our listeners really get a feel for this city, for this club, for what this match means to Pachuca. So take me generally. Pachuca, the city, is what?
Okay, it's 50 miles north of Mexico City. It's very well known because they were English people that were kind of like the founding fathers of the city. There were a lot of mining and to be done. The wild boar is one of the best food you could ever find, like wild boar tacos. It's one of the best. There's actually not much stuff to do, Andrew, for real. And Pachuca fans will be mad at me, but it's the truth. There's nothing to do. But what they've done with this club, it's the first Mexican club that was founded. It's more than 130 years ago. They have built a system around their academy. They have it was well known back in the 60s, 70s, 80s that Pumas, America, Chivas, maybe Atlas were the best academies in Mexico. And you could see in World Cup rosters, the majority of these players came from these big clubs. Well, Atlas not a big club in terms of that, but it was well recognized as one of the best development clubs. And now it's Pachuca. Pachuca have developed players like Héctor Herrera, Paul Aguilar, Rodolfo Pizarro, Chucky Lozano, Eric Sanchez, and I could go on and on. Luis Chavez, who scored a scorcher in the last World Cup. But they have done this tremendously. They built a whole university of football around this, and they have state-of-the-art equipment, state-of-the-art facilities. And players can only concentrate on that, on playing football. And this team has struggled between last season and now because of the lack of, you know, veteran players. And they installed guys like Salomón Rondón. They installed guys like Idrissi from last season and Nelson De Osa from Colombia. And the rest of them are practically all youngsters. And these kids have managed to adapt to Guillermo Almada's system based on what the club wants in their attacking philosophy, if you will. And it doesn't matter if they face America, if they face Tigres, if they face Monterrey, they play the same way. So that's an exciting team. But long story short, not much to do in Pachuca, but breathe, sleep, and dream football.
And breathing is not as easy as it is down at sea level, as Chris Ramirez helped explain to us. What is the buildup to this game right now like in Mexico? What's the media saying? How much do people care? Because it's not one of the Gigantes. It is a big club. They do have a history of success in the Champions Cup, titles in 02, 07, 08, 09, 10, and 16, 17. I mean, five cups. That's incredible. How is the country, the football país, reacting to this moment?
Well, as you mentioned, it's not one of the grandes. They don't have that following or a huge fan base. It's very local, just in the state of Hidalgo, in the north of Mexico City. But since they have captivated with this story of the young guys and the young guns from the academy, it's been a fun team to root for, even though they don't have like this rivalry against a specific team in particular. So it doesn't matter. I think America fans won't love it because they got knocked out once again by Pachuca in they're called the Coco. But the conversation right now is, can MLS beat once again Liga MX? Because as you mentioned, it's rivalry between both leagues. It's rivalry between both countries. If Pachuca loses this game, the conversation will be, okay, they've beaten us. They've beaten us. They're on top of us. Speaking of the league, speaking of football in the United States, and a lot of people won't accept it. They won't deny the fact that over the past few years, that has been the main focus, whether if it's on the national team, on Leagues Cup, on CONCACAF, whatever you want to call it. I think right now the table has turned toward football in the United States.
Well, that feels good, even if we don't always feel that way. You know, I think on this side, we're thinking, okay, can we do it again? We've done it once. It felt like this relief of immense pressure and, you know, the failures, the ghosts of the past. And I think Major League Soccer is still haunted by those in some way. And it's going to take repeated successes. And look, we hope the crew can do that. But it's a very good team that Guillermo Almada has here. First of all, before we get to all the stars, take me through Almada. We know him from Santos Laguna as well, the Uruguayan manager. What sort of soccer does this Pachuca team play?
I had the chance to cover Santos Laguna with Fox Deportes. And this is a team that... I would put this as an example. They were winning 4-0. Almada was crazy mad at his players that if they don't pressure, if they don't defend, he was all in your face. And you can see him in a press conference, like in a different mood. It's kind of like, I always describe him as a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of persona. That's how he lives football. Like right beside the touchline, he's like crazy, and he always expects and demands more. It's this, from what I've gotten with the players, it's like a rubber band. You're stretching it, but just not enough to break it because he demands a lot from his players. And high tempo, high pressure. He loves to attack, never to defend. It's been very rare that Guillermo Almada would change his philosophy of full front attacking mode. I've never seen him defend with the result, even though he's a very experienced manager. When he transitioned from Santos to Pachuca, he was in talks to coach the Ecuadorian national team. At the moment, he was still under contract with Santos, and he said, I have contract with Santos. Obviously, he was a very big manager in Ecuador, and I respect that about him because it's going to be World Cup qualifying, and every coach wants to coach in a World Cup. And Mexico wanted him as a coach. Then came Diego Coca, and you know the whole story, Nations League failure and whatnot. But he's one of the most coveted coaches that has come in the recent years for Mexican League. Like I said, they're always fun to watch. Battle in midfield is going to be key. He's when his teams compete at the finest level, the guy, it all starts with the pressure from the guys up front. And right now it's obviously the big guy from Venezuela, Salomón Rondón, but everybody runs. There's no guy that's going to be slacking down. And when he was managing Santos Laguna, the big star over there was Diego Valdés, now from Club América. He had this slow pace, and whenever he didn't, you know, drop back to defend, he would take him out. Like, you're not playing for me with that attitude. And he got subbed for a couple of games because of that. And that is what you expect from a guy like Guillermo Almada.
Almada's got some decisions to make tactically against this Crew team, even though it is on the road. We saw what Columbus did twice in Monterrey against Tigres and Rayados. What have you seen from this Crew team, and how do you expect Wilfred Nancy to approach this match in Pachuca?
Consistency. It's very tough to win MLS Cup and then continue that battle for, you know, greatness for the next season. And they have competed both in MLS and in a magnificent manner in CONCACAF. I think that's what Wilfred Nancy has brought to this team, consistency. Last season, I think in a conversation that we had with them, it was they conceded a lot of goals and sloppy goals, if you will. I think they've done better in that department, but it has been also important to maintain the pillar or key elements of this team. Your Nagbys, your Morris, your Rossis, your Cucho, your Schulte that had a standout season. I mean, practically everybody's back. So I think consistency is the key word for this Columbus Crew team and their style. They have a very defined style of playing, and it's always fun to watch. It's my favorite team to watch in the whole league.
I'll put my hand up as well. I completely agree with that, and we've seen moments, especially against League MX opposition, where those traits come out. And sometimes for MLS teams, they have struggles being themselves in that different environment, in particular on the road in Mexico. Let's walk folks through some of these players on Pachuca, just so they have a good understanding when they watch on Saturday night, what they're seeing, what makes these players special, and what the expectations are. And we have to start up top with Salomón Rondón. I'm not going to say he's not old, but he's not young. 34 years old, 7 goals in 6 matches in CONCACAF Champions Cup. I think he had 8 in the most recent tournament in Mexico. Right. He is productive. What should people expect when they see Salomón Rondón on the field?
I think defenders might have to start having nightmares with him. He's a tough guy to defend against. He's a big guy. Like you mentioned, 34 years of age. He's not fast, but he has width. And I don't mean width as in a bad thing. Like, he's strong, he's buff, and defenders like, I don't know, Cherbenko will have a tough time with him. He has a very good understanding based on the small amount of time that he's been in Pachuca, because he arrived this season. From the start of the season, it was like something contagious with the guys around him, and they knew how to find him. he found a way to, you know, get out of mark and, you know, find the back of the net in a very, I don't know if easy manner would be an appropriate term, because he made it look easy. And even though it was a slow goal scoring campaign, he finished as a top striker along with a couple of other players, but he was a standout and he leads with example, because he's not the guy that I'm the star and you have to play around me, because he's surrounded by kids, like I mentioned, and he's surrounded by a lot of, you know, youngsters from the Academy of Pachuca. And I've got nothing but good feedback from him, from the Pachuca side and from guys that had faced him. This guy is one of the most dangerous strikers there is in Liga MX.
I mean, you mentioned kids, but I also think back to something that Jim Curtin said after his Philadelphia Union side faced this Pachuca team, which is that Osama Idrissi is the best player that they'll come up against this year. And Idrissi is an interesting example for me in terms of recruitment, because when you look at his past, I mean, the Netherlands and then some time in Spain, and then he was at Feyenoord right before he came to Mexico. He doesn't seem like an obvious guy to end up in Liga MX and to end up at Pachuca. How did they get this guy? And when you're thinking about wingers, he's got to be near the top of the list right now in terms of North American soccer.
Yes, no doubt. And somehow he flew under the radar because nobody remembered him from last season. That is how bad Pachuca were at the time, because they lost players like, Victor Guzman. They lost important players that have been around the team for quite a while, Gustavo Cabral. But now this guy has been one of the part of that chemistry I mentioned with Rondon. They made the guys around better, and Idrissi is one of them. And I'm not saying he was a bad player last season. The team struggled and he didn't find that spark that Pachuca needed. He's a guy that his mind is set on attacking. He's one of the great passers of the game, and his mental aspect is that of toughness. He has gotten in trouble in the Liguilla for, you know, probably getting in the face of the opposition bench. And obviously Almada, his reaction was like, what the are you doing? And he got suspended for the next game that was very important, but they need a guy like him. I mean, Usama Idrissi is one of the top guys, and he had this breakthrough season alongside Salomon Rondon. From the flank standpoint, it's going to be a busy right alley for Columbus Crew.
Who's the current gem of sort of the conveyor belt of young Mexican talent right now, Pachuca? Who's the guy that they sort of hang their hat on?
I think it was Eric Sanchez a while, but now Eric Sanchez is like the experienced type of player. But I've liked Bautista. He sometimes plays on the wing. And there's this Gonzalez from the left flank,
is it Brian?
Brian Gonzalez. I think that kid is special. He's 21. That's the thing about this team, that they develop players. They had a guy called Mauricio Isaias. He went to, after his breakthrough season, he went to Toluca. He didn't do enough over there, but Pachuca is, you know, okay, we're developing more. It's like a continuous factory where whenever they miss a player, they develop it. Okay, what are we needing right now? We're needing left backs. We need a center back. We need a central mid. And they know what they wanted. So it's like, when it comes to top of mind with development players, Pachuca is the first team that pops from the top of your head. And I think Brian Gonzalez can be a stud.
Between Sanchez and Deosa, who do you think is going to be more influential in this match for Pachuca?
It's because I they both need to be, but in that battle with Nagby or Aiden Morris, I think it could be Deoza, because he's the guy that holds the pressure, holds the fort, and drops back with if needed with Pedraza. But the speed that this guy can top, we saw that against America. He had a sprint all the way from midfield to the end of the box. Nobody could catch him. They had to foul him to catch him. So I think Deosa is a more physical player. Eric Sanchez is a more kind of like the special guy that you need a different type of player to spark the magic dust around. I think Deosa will be more key than Eric Sanchez, but don't get me wrong, they're both needed for this one.
Yeah, a laundry list of incredible players on display in this match, and that's the only way we would have it ahead of the CONCACAF Champions Cup final. I need a prediction. In your mind's eye, Rodolfo, what do you see happening in this match in Pachuca?
I think it will depend a lot on, it's like I mentioned, it's going to be a physical demanding game. How well are Columbus Crew prepared for the elevation in Pachuca? If they manage to do that, I think they got a chance to winning it. I have Columbus Crew winning it, and also taking in consideration that Pachuca hasn't been in a competitive match against a strong team since May 11th. That was Club America. They had a friendly against Morelia from the expansion team. It helps, but it's not the same. You're not in that competitive mode. It's almost 3 weeks, so I think Columbus Crew will win it.
I'm very curious to see whether or not Cucho Hernandez is in the starting lineup for the Crew. It seems like they've been holding him back a little bit, trying to make sure that he's okay with that injury, but that could be a massive difference maker. On the flip side, the Crew do have depth up top. Jason Russell Rowe has been effective in this competition. We just talked to Christian Ramirez here on the pod, and of course he has experience and that noose that you need down in Mexico. We'll see. We'll see when those lineups come out, and it'll be exciting from there. Before I let you go, Rodolfo, we know you're calling a lot of MLS games these days and locked in on that. I'm going to walk you through my all-star ballot.
Okay.
We did this on the wrap-up last night, and the guys tore it apart to a certain degree. I'm not going to say that they were right to do so, but they did it. So let me know if you have any disagreements. Let's start in goal. I have Brad Stuver as my goalkeeper. I know you just called this Austin game last night. Am I on to something with Stuver, who's at the top of the, basically goals prevented stat, or did I go the wrong direction there?
No, I think you're in the right direction. I think he's got a good season, and it helps that Josh Wolf has gotten back important players because he's been dealing with injuries. But personally, I've liked Kalina a lot better this season.
All right, no, that's fair. You got give me the truth here. Give me your opinions. I'd also throw out Matt Freese for those New York City FC fans who are like, hey, hold on. Our guy's playing really well too. So Freese has been good, and so has Roman Celentano. My back line, and this is just because I had to go to a 4-3-3 in the ballot, Jordi Alba at left back, Thiago Martins from New York City, and then Matt Miazga, and then at right back, Nathan Byrne, who I think needs to get more credit in Charlotte. But if I'm being honest, and I am, it is an absolute crime that guys like Luco Arciano are in as a left back, but Federico Bernardeschi is not listed as a right back. He's playing wing back, people. He should be the starting right back. So I got a beef with the ballot, but that's my back line. In the midfield, Lucho Costa, Ricky Puig are pulling the strings. And then Emeka Anelie is my defensive midfielder. All due respect to Sergio Busquets.
Yeah, I have it between Anelie and Busquets as well. And I think Anelie has done a very good case to be in the top of the list. And obviously, I can't take away Lucho Acosta. Who else?
Evander? You just saw Evander last night, huh?
Yeah, I like Evander, but there's something casual about him. I expect more from a guy. And don't get me wrong, he's got amazing numbers in terms of goals and assists, but he scored a beauty last night in Austin. But I've liked Robin Lott as well. I think the Loons are doing something interesting, so I would go with I'll be between Anelie and Busquets.
I like that. And what a compliment to Emeka Anelie, by the way, that we're sitting here and like, No jokes, no non-serious aspect of this. Like, well, it's Emeka or it's Sergio Busquets. What an incredible compliment that is. But if we're look, we need balance in our midfield. So if this is a true functioning team, it's probably one of Acosta or Puig. Let's say it's Lucho. And then it's Anelli and Robin Lud. You know what? I'll agree. I'll compromise with you, Rodolfo, in that sense. Up top, Denny Bawanga, Christian Arango, Chicho Arango, I should say, and Lionel Messi.
No discussion there. That's the top three. I think they've been extraordinary. Maybe Bawanga, we expect a little bit more from what we see last season, but I mean, there's no talent like him on the left wing. And what a season for Chicho Arango and for Real Salt Lake at that. And I expected Inter Miami to dip. How far can they get into half of the season without being like inconsistent? But Messi just keeps showing up once again against Atlanta, even though they lost. He's still scoring goals. He's still creating stuff that comes out of nowhere.
What an incredible stat. Did you hear the stat that the last time Lionel Messi scored a club goal and his team lost was 3 years ago, I believe, against Real Betis.
Wow. Yeah. It speaks of how the impact of a goal from Messi can do to the whole team.
We will see what happens in this Shield race. As I outlined earlier in the show, it's starting to open up. There is a little bit of a crack for teams to sneak through after home losses for both Cincinnati and Miami. Before I let you go, I need some names you've been thinking at as well. Who did I miss here that you're like, oh, that guy I like? Maybe he's not an all-star starter, but he deserves a shout.
How about Miles Robinson?
You know what? I had a real debate between him and Matt Miazga, and I think recency bias probably steered me away from Miles because he had a tough game, I thought, against Toronto. But you really can't go wrong with either of those two players. What's the rest of your summer look like here, Rodolfo? Walk us through it. I mean, of course, we're leading up to League's Cup, but before that, we have the All-Star Game in Columbus on July 24th, presented by Target. That's why we're talking about these ballots. Go get yours in before June 10th at MLSsoccer.com. What are you looking forward to in this summer of soccer?
So it's going to be pretty interesting because I've got, obviously, Copa America coverage. I'm going to be all around the country and then hopefully in the All-Star game and then obviously Leagues Cup. And when it comes to this rivalry between U.S. and Mexico, sparks will fly. So I'm down for that.
Sparks will indeed fly. It's going to be a busy summer. But first, Match Day 18 coming up this weekend and the CONCACAF Champions Cup final at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time on FS1 and TUDN. I just keep saying it so you don't miss it, folks. It's going to be an amazing game in Pachuca, and we are crossing our fingers that we'll be celebrating later on in the night. Big thanks to Rodolfo for dropping by today, as well as Christian Ramirez. We're off to the weekend, everybody. Enjoy your time with your friends and your family, and of course, the soccer. Adios. We'll be right back.